and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny and I'm joined this week to look ahead to Saturday's big trip to Field Mill, the huge six-pointer, I'm going to call it that, by Craig Priest and Clive Parkin from Mansfield Matters. How are you doing, guys?
Very good, thank you. Thanks so much for having us on again.
No worries. It's very nice to be here.
Good stuff. We were just chatting beforehand that you weren't sure whether it was going to be video or audio, and you've got kitted out, Clive, I think.
Oh, full garb.
You've got shin pads and everything.
Shin pads and everything, yeah.
Knowing Clive, I would not put it past him, to be fair.
Good stuff. We'll go straight into it. Last night, obviously, we were all glued to our Twitter feeds on the Hartlepool and Mansfield Twitters because it probably shows how worried we are about you. 2-2 draw with Hartlepool. Either of you go, or did you watch on iFollow?
Well, I do the commentary at the minute for Mansfield 103.2, the local commercial station. So I'm fortunate enough to be there at every game and watching from the press box and delivering all the commentary to those who are unable to make it. And last night was another one of those games, really. I mean, I don't know why you guys are worried about us, because there's only one team that are capable of messing things up for Mansfield Town, and it's Mansfield Town.
It did seem like... It felt, anyway, from the Twitter commentary and whatever we could gather from it, from the highlights, that you were completely on top for most of the first half, and you had about a funny 3 or 4 minutes and just collapsed, like a couple of little individual mistakes, and it just cost you in the end. How did like the second half go? Did it carry on like that? It seemed a little bit more even second half.
I'll leave that to you, Clive.
Well, I was one of the fans. I went on the supporters coaches yesterday, and I was in the seats behind the goals where the action took place. And we were on top. We were completely on top, and we never looked in any danger when we were 2-0 up. So I decided to go and get a coffee. And in the time it took me to get the coffee, we were 2-2. So that'll teach me never to go for coffee again.
That's the golden rule as being a football fan, Clive. We've been through this. You don't go to the toilet during the 45 minutes. You don't go and get a coffee. That's a cardinal sin. It's your fault.
Oh, well, you can lay it on me if you like. But, I mean, Craig was absolutely right. I mean, we are a team to be considered. And I shouldn't, not feared exactly, but respected. And we are a season in three parts, really. We had the first third of the season when we couldn't get a win anywhere, and we got most of the team either suspended or injured. And we were 14 games without a win. And we were thinking about, well, how on earth are we going to make sure we finish 22nd in this league? And then we had the middle third, which is when we had 14 games undefeated and a nice couple of cup wins as well. And in that time, we had 10 consecutive home wins. And yours will be the 11th if we pull it off. And then, of course, what's left of the season is like 10 cup finals for us now, because every game is vital.
Yeah. So go back to October quickly then. Cobblers won 2-0 at Six Fields. I think at that point you were 13 games in. The result took you to 22nd in the table. Mm. At that point, what are you thinking? Are you worried about going down at that point?
Well, Nigel Clough described it as the lowest ebb that we've had this season, to be fair. And I think we needed to hit rock bottom in that game. And as fans, we were fearful because things weren't looking great for us on the pitch. And when you consider what was going off the pitch as well, that certainly contributed to it. We had numerous players out injured. We had one of our best players in Stephen Quinn, who's the most sort of consistent in the middle of the park, suspended for six games as well in around that time. Other players injured as well. So it was very much square pegs in round holes, which wasn't working for us at all. And I think we were just sort of thinking about sort of consolidating, as Clive said, thinking about how we're going to finish just about above the drop zone. But a lot of us were, a lot of fans were, for once, actually, it's quite a strange thing to say, thinking about actually backing the manager and giving him time to develop, because you get in that mode of losing games, you start to panic, and the first thing that happens as a football fan, as you'll know, is to blame the manager and to start looking at changing the dugout. Mansfield over the last couple of seasons have been through that, chopped and changed managers when it's not worked, and it's not gone well for them. They've sort of gone on a downward spiral, and it was all about sort of staying together and getting a little bit of patience. And just after that, we managed to sign a player who, I think there's no coincidence in football that, that managed to help turn our season around. And that's a man that you'll know very well in John Joe O'Toole.
No, yeah, we'll get to him a bit later, I think. That game at 6-3, you called it the lowest ebb, which I think says a lot about us. It's like you've hit rock bottom after you lose to us.
Can I just interrupt? It's nothing to do with your team. It was all to do with our team. Nigel Clough is not short of condemning players when they've not fulfilled their role. And on that occasion, he slammed the whole team as not turning up.
Yeah.
And I think it was perceived to be poor attitude, which is something that's not happened on any other game.
Yeah, there's a fair statement in that, to be fair. I think sometimes in a dressing room, when it's sort of new and you're sort of bedding in and getting to know each other and sort of trying to go in a direction, sometimes you've got to, you know, hit the floor before you can bounce back. I think I'm a big believer in, you know, before you, in order to fly, first you've got to have the courage to jump. And sometimes when you jump, you land on your face, don't you? And it's about how you pick yourself up. So like Clive says, it's not a reflection on you guys or saying it's the lowest ebb. It was just us as a dressing room and us as a squad. And I think it, had it not been for a certain Mr. Rose that day, I think it may well have been a little bit more sour in the away end. But his appearance and him coming down to say hello to his former faithful sort of maybe sort of took the ebb off a little bit. We miss him. We miss him.
I won't say too much in terms of
if you don't want him, we will take him. I'll come and pick him up now. Because
yeah, I mean, if you want to take him back with you, we'll leave him there if you want.
You're not having John Joe though. We're back in return.
Well, swap.
He's staying.
A swap deal. Go on.
No. He's staying.
It's fair enough. So after that game at Six Fields. Did you see anything in those first few weeks that makes you kind of foresee what's going to happen? Because I'm a football fan like you. It feels like you have a run like that. You're 22nd in the table with massive kind of hopes of promotion, I'm guessing, the size of the club you are in terms of League Two. It must have taken a lot for your owners not to jump at that point, I'd think.
I think credit to our owners, they haven't. I think they've learned their lesson because they've made some cock-ups and they realise that you can't keep jumping and changing the manager. And when they recruited Nigel Clough, it was very much with a long-term vision in mind. And there's no point in doing that and then not sticking to it. And I think there was a period of survival by faith alone because we were dangerously close to getting tangled up in relegation. And we were all, at that point, after the Northampton game, we were all concerned about just getting a few points in the bag to keep out of that fight at the bottom. But again, something happened. John Joe O'Neill was a bit of a catalyst.
Why do you keep calling him John Joe O'Neill?
Because he's a jockey.
So frustrating. You do this every week.
Craig, I've already explained to Danny that I'm an old git whose memory doesn't work very well.
You'll be calling Elliot Hewitt Jamie again in a minute. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jamie Hewitt.
Why did I let you do this?
Hewitt, the ex-Chesterfield player, is that?
Danny, this is what I have to put up with. There's no concession for my advanced years at all. Anyway, John Joe O'Toole...
Thank you.
Proved to be a catalyst for the positive. And he brought a degree of energy and toughness to the team. And at the same time, some of the injuries were behind us. And the long-term suspension started to unwind. And all of a sudden, you could see what Clough was building his team around. And the fans could. And it's no surprise that our fan base has expanded very quickly during this season. Mm. And our away support has been formidable, really. And we've had plenty of away games recently to exercise that. So we're really pleased that we've got a home game against the Cobblers on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
It's a first home game in about a month, isn't it?
It is. I think it's the first home. I was having a little look earlier on. We've travelled something like 1,042 miles in the last five games. But actually, it stems a little bit longer than that. In the last... Since the 12th of Feb, we've actually only had one away game. So we've had, what, 1, 2, 3,
home four, game.
5, 6, 7, 8 away games and one home game in that period, which is...
A home game a fortnight ago scheduled against Stevenage. But mysteriously, since Steve Evans appeared that week as manager of Stevenage, there was a special strain of coronavirus that descended only on Stevenage.
Yeah, we know, though, that he brought it into the Stevenage camp because obviously he'd been in China before he went to the Stevenage job, right? So, that's what happened.
So our strong friends at the EFL are going to have to deal with that because it was definitely a trick. And didn't suit them to play that weekend. And I don't blame them. I mean, they clearly weren't ready under a new manager. But it meant that one of the few home games that Mansfield had got disappeared off the calendar. So by the time we've had five consecutive home games as of last night, and then we have a home, away games, and then we have a home game against you guys, then we've got two more away games, and then the run-in is a bit even. So it's all to play for. And we're still carrying a couple of games in hand, which is really good to know, although I'd much sooner have the points in hand. But
I mean, we've done a typical Mansfield Matters here, Clive, and gone off on an absolute tangent. I feel sorry for telling you a little bit.
No, go for it. We live off tangents on this podcast.
So I'll try and sort of rope it back a little bit for you and go back to your original point about sacking Nigel Clough and the faith that the fans showed. I think Clive's absolutely right. The owners showed faith. We've got a good CEO on the ground now as well in the back room of the club, David Sharp, who certainly helped that transition since the owners have moved across to Portugal, which is certainly sort of, you know, given us a little bit more stern and grit and sort of having that face on the ground. But a lot of it came, like Clive said, from bringing O'Toole in, from getting those injuries back, and we've just sort of started to see glimpses of what could happen, and it was just a slow burner, and all of a sudden you just pick up momentum and pick up points, and before you know it, we've had this excellent FA Cup run. We've gone away to Sunderland and managed to nick a 1-0 there in the opening couple of minutes or so. We've then beat Doncaster away in front of a really big crowd, because it's only down the road for us, and it's just continued to spiral and spiral and spiral. And as much as we're talking about a run of away games lately, we actually had a massive run of home games in December as well. So it flipped around. I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 6 or 7 consecutive home games in all competitions. And that really helped to propel us as well. So it's definitely swings and roundabouts, really. And it almost seems like more than a couple of months ago when we last played you guys. It feels like we've had a couple of seasons between it. It's a vast, vast difference.
Yeah. So you mentioned John Joe at all there, just changing. Was there anything else that you put this run of form down to from basically after that game at Six Fields, November, December, all the way through to the new year? What else can you put that down to?
I think it's the fans. I think the fans backed it. One of the good things which Clive mentioned earlier was the fact that the majority of fans, and I use the word majority because there are a few keyboard warriors out there, as there always are, it's part and parcel of football, isn't it? But the majority stuck by Nigel Clough and knew him about his record, knew he was here for long term and for a long term project, and backed that and showed that vocal support. And you know, we're clapping the team off after a draw, after they played really, really well, and the lads responded to that. And I think it was actually the game after the Port Vale home game. Back in October, we drew 1-1, and we didn't play great, but it was a much better and much improved performance from the Saturday away at your guys. And the fans stayed at the full time whistle to clap the boys off, and it was sort of a moment where the lads sort of saw in around the dressing room that actually the fans are behind us here. They're not jumping on our backs, and we've got to turn it around for them. And you know, we went on and lost at Exeter the following Saturday, where we signed O'Toole on the day, and then you know the following week beat Tranmere, and we sort of kicked on from there, really. So a lot of it for me goes down to the fans, their support, and then the lads just sort of noticing that and reciprocating that. And it just seems as it's gone on and snowballed that everybody's in it together. And even when we had our mini blip a couple of games ago, although have to be careful using that phrase, because a couple of players that I've put that to in interviews really recently don't like the term mini blip, but it was. Even when we've lost those games, Port Vale, we didn't play very well at all, got beat 3-1, but the fans still stayed at the end, tremendous support throughout. Lost, 3-2 at Tranmere the Friday before that in the 96th minute. Incredible support again, and it's all about that connection between the players and the fans for me, and that's why it's snowballed and grown.
Yeah, one of the highlights on the away trips recently was up at Bradford City. It was the week that Mark Hughes had been appointed. So there's an extra buzz in the crowd and a couple of thousand more on the gate. We went there, took to 2,100 fans, and we beat them 2-0 and quite comfortably on the day as well. Mm. And I think that's the sort of reward the fans have been getting lately, because you can bank that, and it gives you a buffer against some of the disappointment that is part and parcel of football. But I think what's made the Mansfield fans aren't very sophisticated in that they want to see the people on the pitch trying their hardest. And I think there's been no question since Northampton, when we didn't turn out, that actually they are playing for the badge. And as a consequence of that, we are getting injuries because people are pushing themselves really hard. And therefore, we've had to have a decent-sized squad, which we topped up in January. And now, Clough has got the... And I use the word loosely, the luxury of choices. During the bad run, he had no choice. In fact, we had to turn the centre forward we bought into a centre back for the whole period. He turned out to be quite a good centre back. We're talking about Hawkins here.
Apart from last night, let's not talk about
that.
He had
a bad game last night. But he doesn't know us anything as a centre back. He's performed very well. And, you know, that's because we hadn't got players to make that back four that we needed at a time when we needed them so badly. So I think these things turn around, and they have done, and now we have less anxiety about that element of the pitch. We've always had a little bit of an anxiety about scoring enough goals. We're not a high-scoring team, but at the same time, we don't get thrashed by anybody either.
So we've been watching, obviously, keenly since for the last few weeks when we've been dropping points and seeing you creep up and creep up. We've seen you score a couple of late goals. One, I think, was Rochdale, was it, on a Tuesday night?
Yeah.
And then again at Oldham in injury time.
That was seriously late, that one.
Yeah, 95th, 96th minute. I, as an as a kind of challenger fan or, you know, a rock promotion rival, when I see things like that, I think, you know, that it's going to be you who comes up. It's going to be you. It's things like that, and it makes it seem like it's written in the stars. Are you, as Mansfield fans, feeling that? Because I think it's completely different when it's your own team, isn't it? But do you get that sense as well?
I'll answer this. I think there's three ways of playing football. There's a good way, there's a bad way, and there's the Mansfield way. And the Mansfield way says, whatever you do, however good you are, you'll find a way of cocking up. And every fan has got that little bit of buffer in their mind that's saying, oh, yeah, when is it we drop out of this good run, you know? Mm-hmm. And Craig mentioned the mini blip, and one or two people say, oh, that's it now, they've bottled it. It's not true. Absolutely not true. The games we haven't won, we could have taken points out of. It's just, you know, the odd mistake has cost us. And that's my argument has always been, if you score enough, you can make the odd mistake behind that. And I think where we are now is where we deserve to be, purely because of the run we've had. And goodness knows, if we'd started this earlier in the season, we'd have been where Forest Green Rovers is now. So it's tantalising to think that we can do it, and equally, we might not. And we've got such a competitive top 10 in this league this year. It's incredible.
I mean, Clive's right in the degree that a lot of Stags fans have been burnt by this before. I mean, you remember a couple of seasons ago when Rosie was with us, and we had Flitcroft, who's now at Port Vale as Director of Football, and CJ Hamilton and the likes. You know, we had a fantastic season. We were up there, you know, had a great start and then bombed off towards the end. And I think we're a little bit burnt and a little bit bitten by that, and a little bit overcautious. And when one result does come in and it's a draw and we've not played great, it's the end of the world for some fans, and it's about perspective. But one thing that I like about Nigel Clough is that there's no expectation from him. At the very start of the season, he was asked what his expectations are for this campaign, and he said, we're going to try and win promotion. But he emphasised the word try. He took away all the headlines of, we are going to win promotion, we are going to do this, we are going to do that. No, we're going to try. And every time I talk to him, sometimes it can be quite difficult to interview him after the game, because from a journalist and a broadcaster's point of view, you've got to try and get content looking ahead to the next game or looking ahead to the next two or three. And this week's the prime example. Obviously, we played last night at Hartlepool, 2-2 draw. If we'd have won there, we'd have gone pretty much, what, level on points with you guys, or just a point behind you guys. Yeah, point behind you guys. And then obviously the week we've got coming up, we would have played you on the Saturday, Forest Green on the Tuesday, and then the league's bottom side, Scunthorpe, the following Saturday. So it's a massive three games. But Clough won't look at it like that. He won't look and say, if we can get, you know, 7 points from the next three, we'll be in the automatics, or if we can get five for the next three or whatever, we'll be, you know, in and around the playoffs. He looks at it game by game and completely takes away that expectation, that thing of looking too far ahead of yourselves, because if you start looking over your shoulder, you miss that massive lamppost that you're about to walk into. And if you look too far ahead of yourselves, you miss the massive pothole that you're going to fall down. It's all about just concentrating. And Nigel Clough does that very, very well, and keeps the lads really, really grounded. And I think the fans are slowly but surely buying into that. Whether it'll be the same in four or five games' time, when, you know, there's, you know, three or four games to go for you lot, but five or six for us, because we've got all these games in hand, will be a completely different story. But for now, for the majority of the fans, I think it's fair to say we're literally just sitting back and enjoying the ride. And what happens, happens. What will be, will be.
So there's still not really an expectation as such to go up. It's more, if it happens, it'll be amazing. But it's not going to be something that you turn around and think it's a disaster if it doesn't. Is that where you're at right now?
I think there's an expectation, but I think it's an expectation which is, you know, subliminal and sort of buried at the back of the mind. It's not the first thing we think about. We're not thinking about the promotion party and what grounds we can go to in League One, because we're not there yet. We're not over the line. We've not got that overconfidence and that over arrogance. We've got that thing of, yes, it would be great, but we've got to work for it and we're just going to enjoy the process. But it's definitely an expectation because of who our owners are and what we put in each season, the players that we signed in January. But if it doesn't happen, I think the majority, I'd probably say about 75-80% will be, well, next year then, if we've done this year, next year is going to be fantastic. And I think that's probably where the majority are. I'm probably wrong. Who knows? I'm not in the away end as much as I'd like to be nowadays. But I'd like to think that those thoughts are shared by the majority.
I think you're right, Craig. I mean, the fans themselves, generally speaking, see this as a successful season because of where we were.
Exactly.
After 14 odd games.
Yeah, that's the point I was making.
And if
we
miss out on promotion, it won't be because of a bad team or a bad strategy. It's just a poor start, effectively. And I think, as I said, answering somebody on Facebook the other day, that they were complaining about something. I said, you know, it's not that long ago we were worried about not finishing worse than 22nd in this league, and now we have a real chance of finishing second. So, you know, if we've come a long way, and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. There's always one team, and your sights are probably set on the top three, I think, as things stand. There is always a team that comes into the playoffs, isn't there, on form, that you just don't want to play at
Newport County.
You just want to avoid at all costs. At the moment, it's looking like you're that team. Obviously, anything could happen in the next 6, 7, 8, 9 games, however many games people have got left. But as it stands, it's down to 11th, Salford, 59 points.
Yeah, they won't do it. They'll bottle it again.
Yeah.
Gary Levin in his checkbook will be in League Two again next year. Mark, can you take that now?
So let's go top 10 then. So top 10, obviously Sutton in 10th have dropped off a little bit, but even
write
then...
them off. They'll be too busy. They'll be too busy thinking about their trophy.
Let's just cut off all the teams as we go.
I've got a lot of respect for Sutton. Their journey's been fantastic and they've had a great season, but what they've really done is, in some ways, they've over-excelled. They've got themselves to Wembley in the Papa John's trophy final. And, you know, if they go on and win that, will be a great achievement for them in their first ever season in the Football League, and they'll be happy at that. But I think they might have left themselves a little bit too much to do because of that, I think. But do you know, also as well, I know sort of points wise they're still relatively a quiet way off it, but don't write Hartlepool off for a last charge. You know, they're a good side. If results swing their way, don't write them off.
I mean, we didn't see a lot of them when we played them last weekend. I think there seems like it was very much, they were not massively bothered about losing the game. And I think it surprised me when they came back last night, because I thought going 2-0 down again, I thought they'd pretty much just not be too fussed about it. But they seem to...
Do you know what it is about them? I think you've hit the nail on the head. They're a side that aren't necessarily too bothered, but you know, if they get an opening or they get a chance, that's when they swing, that's when they seize the initiatives. And I think that's what will play into their advantage, because teams will go there a little bit like we did last night, to be fair, and go, well, it's all right, we can afford to play one or two overpasses, we can afford to sit a little bit deeper and not go and press, and that's where they'll hurt you. And you just saw how quickly they got back in the game. And to be fair, they could have nicked it in the 90th minute last night. We got very, very lucky to come away with a point.
Saw that chance right at the end. The player burst through, didn't he, and stuck it wide.
I think you have to give credit to that club as well. They've come out in the non-league, and in their first season they've performed incredibly well. And they've had a really good fan base as well that's been behind them.
That's true. So what, we 3 points the gap between the two clubs before the weekend. About 5 points between us and 10th. It's so tight. Seen like the other teams in the race as well, can you kind of give an answer to who's going up at this point, do you think?
Forest Green will find their form, and I think they will actually do it this year.
It's been so ridiculous, hasn't it?
We've got to play them twice, by the way.
We could have a massive say in that, which is ridiculous. But you know, they've been up there, haven't they, for seasons upon season, and always seem to fall off at the end. I think they've got enough about them this year. I think they've done enough early doors to go and do it. Exeter are a very good side. We were very lucky to beat them at our place, but I think we just put in a performance that night. Friday night under the lights, it's a magical place to be, the One Call sometimes. So I think that was always going to go in our favour. You guys have got enough about you, but I think it's just about how you guys as a collective sort of keep your heads. I would put money on either us sneaking into that final race, but it would depend on what happens in the next three games. I wouldn't write off Port Vale. You know, they've been through a lot this season. Obviously, everyone knows what's happened with Daryl Clark, who's a Mansfield lad, and we wish him all the best. Great to see the news coming out today that he's having a phased return back to work. They've got a good ownership behind them and a good fan base as well, and I think they'll go up and do it this year. Playoffs is anybody's game, but as long as Newport, if we finish in the playoffs and Newport don't, I'll be happy at that.
What's the story there? Just remind me.
So a couple of years ago, so us and Newport have always had battles over the years, going all the way back to the conference days. Promoted alongside them, they came up the same year as we did when we won the league. They won the playoffs. I think that's right. Anyway, I'm probably wrong. Thanks, Clive. No could rely on you. See, it's that old memory, isn't it? It just retains that stuff from yesteryear.
Well, I'm reading my notes.
Mine's more this year, isn't it? A couple of years ago, we got into the playoffs. We dipped off towards the back end of the season, to be fair, threw it away. Couple of things which didn't quite go our way. Lost out on the final day of the season to MK Dons. Ended up getting Newport in the playoffs, and you're absolutely spot on. The team that drops from third to fourth is always on a high to nothing. Newport was the opposite way. Went to their place in the first leg. Played really, really well, but got robbed. We should have came away with a 1-0 win there. Got robbed. It was a 1-1 draw. They came to our place and ended up beating us on penalties. Tyler Walker, who we had on loan from Forest, scored a hatful that year for us. Fantastic. But he scored loads of penalties that year. But sod's law, penalty shootout. Mansfield haven't won one since 2013. And Tyler Walker was the one who went and missed. And
his shot hasn't come down yet.
Yeah, it's still rising. So, that's the story over there. And every time we sort of go there, we're always reminded of that by the Newport fans. And it's just a horrible place to go, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I'm not even going to get... Well, I am going to get started on penalty shootouts in playoff semi-finals with you lot.
Yes,
that is... You've got a long memory.
Well, that's got to be 18 or so years ago now, isn't it?
2004,
yeah. Yeah, we're currently recording a series. It's 20 years since we actually got last promoted from within the Football League. So we're actually recording a series at the minute, so we're reflecting on that. And we've got a couple of lined up for a couple of seasons' time. And I'm sure we'll be reflecting on that as well, because we've got Kevin Pilkington coming on in a couple of weeks, who, of course, saved the penalty against you guys at our place. Remember that well.
Yeah. Have you got Phil Crossley coming on, the referee?
No, but I'm still...
Special guest.
No, but I'm still trying to hunt down the linesman from Cardiff, you know, because we did get to the playoff final. And
there's a whole competition. Say, chaps, I've just had an idea. There's a really good competition in League Two, and that's Spot the Competent Referee.
Yeah, very true.
But no, we won't go into that too much.
No, that's not. That's many a year ago.
But yeah. Fair to say, we don't want to play you in the playoffs again. It is just so tight. In terms of your own expectations, that you've talked about, it's not going to be sort of it will be disappointing if you don't get there, obviously, but you kind of feel like you're in a position now where it's just go for it, and it's all or nothing now. It's you know, let's just get on with it and have a go. It just, it feels like
cliche,
you're in the...
but every match is a cup final now for us.
Yeah,
we've got two games in hand, but you know, the players are running ragged at the moment. We're two games every week, and we've done a lot of travelling, and it's taking its toll. And thankfully, we've got a fairly big squad of competent people, but they don't always click when you bring them on. That's a risky take. Yeah. We didn't start yesterday with our leading goal scorer because he's trying to avoid him having to knock on injuries because he's carrying a little bit of a knock.
Doesn't train as often as everyone else. No,
this is Reece Oates, isn't it?
Yeah. Because he's so valuable to us. He barely trains. And there's a lot like that, to be fair, at the minute. I mean, it's like Clive says, we're playing Saturday, Tuesday. It takes a lot out of you. When, you know, it's not so bad when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday, and one of them's at home. But when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday away all the time, which we have done for pretty much the past month, you drill that down now into actually time on the training ground and time with the family. And And that's a massive, massive important thing. You know, we're a big advocate of mental health within football, and Nigel Clough is as well. He gives the players as much time as he possibly can. Jamie Murphy, of course, is on loan from, you know, from Ireland and everything like that, and up in Scotland and everything. And he's spending a lot of time travelling up and down everywhere and, you know, trying to go home to see his young family, that sort of thing. And it's those things which you don't always take into account sometimes. And it's always an interesting one squad-wise to try and manage that.
Mm. So let's get on to players. Then you mentioned Reece Oates there, top scorer. I think he missed a couple of chances late on last night, didn't he? I think he came off the bench.
Yeah.
Is it 11 goals he's got now this season? 5 assists, according to the BBC website I'm looking at now. How good is he?
He started off not performing the way that we expected. And again, this is where some of our fans lack patience, because they expect new players to hit the ground running and play on their best form. And even Reece Oates took a long time to settle in at a time when the club was under a lot of pressure as well. Mm. It didn't help. But looking at him now, you wouldn't, all things being equal, you would not leave him off your team sheet. He's been an absolute cracker for us. And
yeah,
the goals he scores are special goals as well.
Yeah, I asked him on Monday, I spoke to him at the press conference on Monday, and I said, one of the questions I asked him was, are you capable of scoring tap-ins? He just laughed and went, I don't think I've got one this year, other than a flicked header against Barrow, you know, from about 2 yards out. He's not scored a goal from pretty much inside the box. He's got pace to burn. We call him Roadrunner because he's got absolute speed to burn. Reece Oates would be a cracking player, and he would be capable of playing Championship Prem if he could combine his pace and his finishing with the ability to look up and know when to pick a pass at a key time. Mm-hmm. Far too many times, and this is not a criticism by any stretch of the imagination, you know, it's League Two for a start. Let's get that highlighted. He'll get up. He'll pick the ball up on the halfway line, he'll sprint and he'll absolutely leave a team for dust. He'll get players up and around him, but the problem is he doesn't look up enough to find that key pass or play it early. He's just lacking that little bit. But do you know what? When he pops one off from 30, 35 yards and it ends up in the top corner, we don't care about that, because he's just ignited something in us, which, you know, you really need a player like that in your team. And
you've got to remember as well, he was a conference player last season.
Yeah,
it was Hartlepool, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah, and you know, promoted for them, scored a lot of goals for them as well. And
Craig, it's worth remembering that we recruited at the same time at the beginning of the season a 20-odd goals League Two goal scorer from Victoria.
Talk about that, Danny Johnson. Yeah,
he's not been able to get a look in because of the form that Reece has been in.
Mm.
So John Joe Tool, let's get on to him then. I'm sure you remember us bringing a load of wigs for John Joe Tool Day a few years ago and him proceeding to get sent off against you. You just mentioned how important he's been. Obviously with us, he was a bit of more of a number 10 midfielder, breaking into the box type player. He seems to have reinvented himself with Burton and then again with you. How good has he been?
Now, John Joe Tool is, everyone talks about Mansfield Town and there's this saying about no Quinn, no win. When Stephen Quinn doesn't play, we very rarely win. Well, actually, looking through the stats and the stars, you can probably say the same about John Joe Tool. He has been incredible for us. Came in, you know, as you say, he's got this reputation as being a number 10 and from his career, but Clough's had him at Burton before and played him at centre-half, comes in, plays centre-half. Shores things up for it. He's fantastic, a really good leader. He was on a short-term contract because Stevenage didn't want him. He was looking for options. And, you know, towards the back end of December, when he was phenomenal for us, early January, he was playing. We didn't know if he was going to stay. And it was a huge, huge relief when he signed a long-term deal to stay with the club. And he's been, for me, we talk about Reece Oates being a great player and a great signing in the summer. O'Toole's probably up there in the top three of signings this season because he is... He's an absolute leader. He's a rock at the back. He can sit and play defensive midfield. He can ping balls around as well. He's a good all-round player to have in there. And he has that aggression. And I don't want to swear. I don't want to give you that editing job to do. But teams need a git in their side, don't they? They need a real horrible git, a real horrible sod that's going to annoy the opposition fans and get on the opposition players' skin. We didn't have that until O'Toole arrived.
Yeah.
And there's the difference.
Yeah.
And the results are there for everyone to see.
He's an experienced player and he's a tough nut. And I think that was something we badly needed.
Andy loves
a little bit too much of a tough nut. That on the sidelines and just choked down someone.
I mean that wasn't Newport away where he did literally choke hold someone and get suspended. And shock horror, you know, when he's suspended, we don't do very well. Yeah. In the last couple of games,
sounds like he's picked up on your Newport hatred and just gone in.
I mean, we have other tough nuts. I mean, we have a player that got sent off in a game and ended up with a five or six game ban.
He got a six game ban, Mr. Quinn, yeah.
Because he didn't leave it at the foul that got him sent off. He had to add something to it on the way off the pitch. But
yeah, I
remember that. You know, that's because he's tough and hasn't got a great deal of thinking capacity, I guess. But he's a cracking player on the park and he doesn't leave anything on there. You know, he's the first to go on up to the fans at the end of the game and he demonstrates his heart's there.
It's the same with O'Toole as well, because, you know, every Stags fan knew about the whole John Joe O'Toole day, and he got some absolute right stick for it when he first signed. He's no longer got his long hair. That's what's transformed him. Yeah. He's had it shaved off. He's great. And I've had the pleasure of talking to him on a number of occasions at press conferences and after the games. A really lovely bloke to talk to. And I spoke to him about the connection before. He laughed it off and he said, you know, a couple of years ago when I came here, I was nearly scrapping with the fans in the car park. Now I'm fist bumping them and high-fiving them. It's a great transformation. He's really brought into it. And do you know what? The fans are brought into him, because sometimes you'll sign a player that's got a bit of a reputation and straight away you don't want them there. You don't want them representing your club. But our fans have brought into him and really, really enjoy him. And I think he'll be. It'll be an interesting one on Saturday. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he'll play. He'll no doubt get some stick from your fans, but I think a little bit like when we, you know, were reunited with Rosie in the return fixture. I think there's a love there for John Joe O'Toole from Northampton fans.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an absolute cult hero. There's no chance he's going to get actual proper stick. I don't think is
on the
is
subject
beloved.
Of Northampton fans. Danny, are you bringing? Are you filling your allocation? You know.
I'm not sure actually how they've been sold so far.
Because we expect the home seats to be all full on Saturday.
Oh, it'll be close to capacity, won't it?
We'll probably get our best recent attendance if you guys sell out yours.
We usually bring a fair amount to Mansfield, I think.
Well, it's almost a local derby for us, you know, because in League Two for us, where we're based, there's hardly any local teams anymore. They've all been relegated or promoted.
Yeah.
In fact, going back to that, you know, that you asked about who you thought might be going up. Forest Green, let's leave them where they are and say they're going. And I think Exeter on Merritt are going to be in the mix. I would hate it if it was them, those two, and us going up, because it means you've got two more journeys to the southwest again next season.
And you can guarantee they'll be on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, one of the benefits of not going up with them would be not to go to Forest Green and not to go to Exeter and not to go to Swindon. Those are the places that drive me barmy.
Yeah, sorry, you can go to Peterborough, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't mind.
I like your ground.
Get off.
You need to finish that stand.
Sorry. No, that's a banning order for saying you love Peterborough on this podcast. Sorry.
Anyway, when you come on Saturday to our lovely, quaint, three-sided ground, it'll be buzzing.
It's all good. So, last player I want to mention, Matty Longstaff, obviously signed in January. How did that happen? I think a lot of people are asking.
Got Clive, you know the story, don't you? You were there on the night. I mean, well, just think back, it was a couple of months ago, so you might have to think back and refer to your notes.
Yes, I'm rushing through them now. I mean, there's two stories, really. One I learned yesterday was he was offered to Hartlepool, and their manager decided he didn't want him. Well,
definitely wasn't offered to Hartlepool. I know the other club he was offered to.
Well, anyway.
It was a championship club just down the road.
Yes, by all accounts, there was some liaison between our managing director on his honeymoon,
CEO,
and the agent of the said player. And it just happened to come up in conversation and said, well, if he wants to come to us, he can do.
Right. Well, what kind of a liaison was this?
So David Sharp was, I think it was over Christmas time, wasn't it? He went on holiday with his then girlfriend, who he proposed to. And just by absolute chance, Matty Longstaff's agent was on the same holiday. Obviously, they'd shared a number of bottles of rather expensive Chardonnay at the time, and he went, have you got players that we could bring on alone? I could have Matty Longstaff. You went, all right. And it was something along those lines. No, I mean, that's not an accurate recreation, but that's the story.
That's a Craigism, by the way, for people who have not listened to him before.
I love that. I love that's the story behind it. That's amazing.
But either way, I mean, he's a genuinely classy player. As a good, you know, player with Premiership experience, playing in League Two demands different skill sets, and he's having to find them. He hasn't waltzed through anybody. but his work rate's good, and he loves the game. You can see that in his play. And, of course, it's lovely from our point of view because someone else is paying most of his wages.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they will be big wages.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Just the fact of his wages has made everyone, I think, stand up and think, how on earth has that happened? And
fueled how's by he, Middle how's Eastern he, oil. That's what it like is.
Yeah, fair enough. I think there might be a few dipping into Newcastle next season as well, if that's the case. But he does seem to have like a touch of class about him, doesn't he? You can tell the difference between a player who's got that quality and
he's got a good ball control, and he finds that little bit of time on the ball, which other players don't always have. And he's got ginger hair.
Yeah, what more can you want?
And he likes custard creams. I mean, there's a little bit of an in-joke there. I mean, we ask quite often on the podcast, we have a feature called What's Your Favourite Biscuit? Somebody bet me, basically, when I started doing the commentary and the interviews, that I wouldn't ask players what their favourite biscuits are. And we do. So John Joe O'Toole is a chocolate hobnob for those Northampton fans who want to bring something for him on Saturday.
A few hobnobs here.
Yeah, and Matty Longstaff's is a custard cream. So, Danny, I've got to ask you the question. What's your favourite biscuit?
You put me on the spot now. I think I am partial to a hobnob as well. I've got to go in the John Joe O'Toole camp there. Chocolate hobnobs are the pinnacle, I think. I was going to ask you, what's the weirdest one you've had so far?
The weirdest biscuit?
Answer, yeah.
Oh, Jordan Bowery took quite a while to think about it. He was the only one that's been quite methodical over it.
He asked supplementary questions are you talking about for dipping in my tea?
Didn't. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was like, oh, right, because if it's in tea, it's this, but if it's not, it's this. Once we'd established it was with a cup of tea, Jordan Bowery's was a chocolate digestive, which I can get behind. But the weirdest, but you can tell this is from where he grew up, Ollie Clark, the captain, spent a number of years at Bristol Rovers. It was a Viennese whirl or a Viennese finger. Yeah.
Love that. Great stuff. Before we get to predictions, we always ask on the preview show, it's getting a little bit less that we only score from set pieces, but we'll ask it anyway. How are you at defending set pieces?
Well, we can't defend in general, so...
Okay, that's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for all our excellent play going forward, we'll knock the ball free like nobody's business and score worldy goals. But you ping 160-yard passing behind our fullbacks, we've got no chance.
Sorted.
there's an error in every game waiting for the opponents to pick.
Genuinely, if Mansfield Town do not get promoted this season, there is only one team to blame. It's not anybody that's beat us. It's Mansfield Town. True fact.
But you've only conceded, 43 goals. I guess it's one of the higher in the top eight.
To be fair, we have got better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thanks, equally,
we've got better at scoring from them as well, which is something we weren't doing.
Yeah.
And at one point, at the beginning of the season, our crosses were ludicrously bad. We've started to benefit a bit more from them now.
Yeah, good stuff. So we'll get on to predictions now then to close off. Craig, I'll come to you first.
Oh, I never go first. We do this on our show. I never go first. I always see what other people do. Oh, I'm putting on the spot. Right, I'll go for... We're at home. We're chasing down this fantastic club record. So at the moment, we've equaled a club record of consecutive home wins in the Football League of 10, which was something like 1940-something when we last did that. So we've got that with us. It'll be a big crowd back at home. I am going to back us for a 2-1 win. O'Toole will score for us, and he'll either be so wound up by the Northampton fans that he'll rip his shirt off and sprint down and celebrate in front of you, or he won't celebrate at all. But the goal scorer for Northampton, even though he's not played as much, which is an absolute waste from your manager's point
really
of view,
isn't.
By the way. It really is.
It's not at all.
Danny Rose will pop up and score a bicycle kick and you'll be like, Jesus, why have we not played him more? What a guy.
He scored one at Lincoln once, a worldy bicycle kick, to be fair, but those days are long gone from what we can see.
I tell you what, we will send you in return for Danny Rose. I'd gamble and send him Danny Johnson. I would.
Yeah, deal.
Rose.
There we go. Deal's done. We're outside the transfer window, but
Craig has no authority to do this.
I don't. And also, if Johnson's listening, yeah, I do fully back you. But what I'm saying is, he's got this ability to score goals, but he's also always injured. So, you know,
just became Jackie Weaver there, Craig. Clive, how do you see this one going?
Well, one thing's for sure, I don't expect us to keep a clean sheet. So true. I was thinking like 7-3, but then common sense has prevailed. I think it's going to be quite tight. I'm going to go for 2-1 win. for the Stags.
2-1. Yeah, I'm really concerned about this one. I think I say that every week, but this one especially, like you say, first home game in about a month. You've got a massive crowd. You're right on the brink of the playoffs, chasing us. I think a point would actually be a decent result for us, despite the games in hand.
I'll take a point now. I'll happily take a point now.
Let's not bother with the game then.
Let's shake the hands. Get the point. Do our transfer swap. We're done. This is how football should be conducted.
Get some biscuits out.
Yeah.
Hey, and do you know what you need, Clive, for a good biscuit? You need a good mug. Let's not go down that route.
In fact, we have a Mansfield Matters commemorative mug, which I think, Danny, you probably deserve.
Oh yeah,
send you one. We'll send you one.
Yeah, we'll swap mugs. I think we've got a mug somewhere.
No, I'm not. I'll send you some hobnobs, but you're not having any at all.
Quote of the day. I love that. I'm going to go for 2-2. I think it's an optimistic because I can definitely see goals in it. I'd be quite happy with a point and just move on because I think our fixtures are not too bad. Touch wood after that. I think, yeah, sounds like we'll both be going home happy after that, if that's the case. So thank you so much, Craig and Clive, for coming on. That was a pleasure. Such a great chat. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
And can I just say as well, as a fellow podcaster in and around the circuit, I've watched what you guys have done for years and it's really top stuff. So
thank you, mate. Keep it up. It's
been a pleasure to watch and a pleasure to be on.
Cheers.
And don't be too miserable on the return journey, Chaps.
And if you can leave Rosie, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine with that. Just drop him off. Love you, Danny. Where can we find you?
We actually do.
I mean, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing in the world, would it, if he came back?
I mean, to be fair, our co-chairwoman absolutely loved him and she was gutted to see him go. But financially for us at that point, it was the right move to make. But yeah.
I think we've seen the best of him, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you have too. Where can we find you on social media?
So if you want to follow us, we are at MTFC Matters on Twitter and on Facebook.
Perfect. Thank you so much, guys, again for coming on. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in your ears on Tuesday morning with all our reaction to this one. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.